قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, the Quran introduces the Quran introduces the month of Ramadan in a very unique way. Generally, when we speak of the month of Ramadan, we equate Ramadan with fasting. Correctly so. But when the Quran introduces the month of Ramadan, it does so in a very different way. And the Quran says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. That the month of Ramadan is that month in which the Quran was revealed. Afterwards, the Quran speaks about fasting. But when the Quran introduces Ramadan, it relates the greatness, and the honor of the month of Ramadan to the revelation of the Quran. Therefore, a scholar says that when Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam was chosen as the angel to communicate the Quran to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam became the noblest of all angels. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was chosen to be the first recipient of the Quran, he became the leader of all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And when a particular month was chosen for the revelation of the Quran, it became the most sublime month of all months, that is Ramadan. And likewise, when Allah chose a particular night for the beginning of the revelation of the Quran, that night became the night of power, a night more sublime in virtue than 1,000 months. And when Allah chose a particular ummah to be the recipients of this Quran, that ummah became kuntum khaira ummah, the best of ummahs. So whether it was the angel, or the prophet, or the month, or the night, or the ummah, when they were linked to the Quran, they became the best, and the most noblest, and the most sublime. So the scholar says, what about those who've memorized the Quran? What about those who live the Quran? What would their status be? In the verse, in the ayah of the Quran, Allah says, لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. We have revealed this Quran. And according to Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ means in it lies your honor. Your honor, your nobility as a human being, and your nobility as an ummah is derived from your commitment to the Quran. And your humiliation and your disgrace as an individual and as an ummah is directly related to your aversion and turning away from the Quran. So when the Quran introduces Ramadan, it links it with the, the revelation itself, not with fasting, to give it that nobility. Now, what is the link between Quran and fasting? Allah says, when introducing the Quran, He says, "Hudan lil muttaqin," that the Quran is a source of guidance only for those who are conscious of Allah. In other words, to derive benefit from the Quran, you require a mindset. You require the tools of the trade to be able to access what the guidance that is found in the Quran. And where do you acquire the tools of the trade? Where do you acquire that mindset, that value system? Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ, that we have prescribed fasting for you so that you may learn taqwa, that you may learn this consciousness. In other words, it is through this consciousness that you would enable and have the ability to draw the objective of the Quran, to draw guidance from the Quran. So fasting is an enabler. It is giving you the tools of the trade to actually go into the Quran and draw guidance from the Quran. So without the prerequisite, the Quran becomes meaningless, a book of amulets. So fasting, the link between the Quran, revelation of the Quran, and fasting, is that fasting sharpens the intellect. Fasting plants the seeds of wisdom in the heart. Fasting develops a mindset through which we can then appreciate the message of Allah. And if you doubt that there's a link between fasting and the sharpening of the intellect, then an individual like Pythagoras, who was a master mathematician, a philosopher, a historian, and a mystic from the West, from Greece, he wanted to enter a school of mysticism in Egypt. Everyone knew who he was. Everyone knew his intellect. He was renowned, but they refused. They said, there's no place for you. Again he applied, and again he applied. And then he asked, but why? Why are you refusing me entry into your school? And the response was, you have to fast for 40 days before you are admitted into the school. He didn't do it for any religious reasons. But it was those 40 days of fasting that says, now I feel the knowledge I have. Before I only knew what I knew. Now I feel what I know. So fasting gives, you know, sharpens the intellect, plants the seeds of wisdom, and gives us the capacity to reason, the furqan, as the Quran says, the ability to distinguish between right and wrong, between good and bad, between vice and virtue. The question we should be asking, if this is the month of fast, the Quran, what is our relationship with the Quran? How do we develop a bond with the Quran? And there are certain steps that we should all be taking to develop this relationship with the Quran. And against these steps, we should be asking ourselves and see, how do we fare as individuals? Firstly, It is to develop a relationship with the Quran, we need to invest time in learning how to recite the Quran. Recitation of the Quran is an integral part of this relationship and this bond that we develop with the Quran. How much time do we spend reading the Quran, number one, and trying to better the quality of our reading? If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Mahir bil-Quran, one who reads the Quran beautifully, one who reads the Quran perfectly, he'll be blessed with the company of the angels on the day of Qiyamah. And the one who stumbles, and the one who stutters, and the one who finds it difficult, he will be rewarded with double the reward. In other words, for each word of the Quran, you get 10 rewards. But if you're battling, if you're unable, but you keep persisting, despite your weakness, you keep reading the Quran, you will get double the reward. So the first requirement in developing this relationship with the Quran is spending time in reciting the Quran. Secondly, is to listen to the Quran. Do we dedicate time listening to the Quran? Allah says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Where the Quran is recited, فَاسْتَمِعُوا. Give an attentive ear. Be silent and give an attentive ear. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So that you may attract the mercy of Allah. Listening to the Quran is the perfume of the heart. Listening to the Quran is the food for the heart. And if we're starving the heart, and if we're not adorning and perfuming our heart, we cannot hope to have that relationship with the Quran. So, a student once went to his teacher and said, why should I recite a book that I don't understand? And why should I be listening to a book that I don't understand? So the teacher took the student to the banks of a river and gave him an unused bucket with holes at the bottom and said, go and fill this bucket and come back to me. So he went the first time, came back, the bucket was naturally empty. He tried again, the fifth occasion. He said, but what's all this about? So his teacher said that there's no water that the bucket could contain because there's holes in it. But look into the bucket. Isn't it that much cleaner? Isn't it that much purer because of the continuous water that you've been bringing from the riverbed to the shore? Even though you could not contain the water, the bucket has become purer. In the same way, even though you don't understand what you're reading, even though you don't understand what you're listening to, it is purifying the heart. It is purging the heart. It is cleansing the heart. It is not an exercise in vain, standing in Taraweeh and waiting for the hour to pass. It is a exercise that is purging and purifying the heart. So the one, in terms of developing this relationship, is recitation. Two is listening to the Quran. Three is memorizing the Quran, memorizing parts of the Quran. You're never too old to memorize even one verse of the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that that person that has no portion of the Quran in his heart is like a dilapidated house, a house that's vandalized, a house that's abandoned, left to the thieves to occupy. That abandoned heart is one that doesn't enjoy the mercy of Allah. doesn't enjoy the tranquility from the Quran. That heart which is now vulnerable to shaitan and all negative influences. Learn at least, memorize one verse, one dua from the Quran in the month of Ramadan. So one is listening to the, reading the Quran, listening to the Quran, memorizing the Quran, and the fourth one is spend time understanding the message of the Quran. Spend time understanding the message of the Quran. Get an authentic tafsir. Attend tafsir classes. Go and learn the message of the Quran. How can we hope to have any kind of bond with our Creator if we do not know what message, what He's telling us in the Quran? Allah refers to the Ahlul Kitab and says, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي. And among them are the Ummiyun, those that are totally ignorant. They have no knowledge of the Quran except their own fancies. In other words, they have the divine scripture with them, but they've used this divine scripture not as a book of guidance, but to enrich themselves, to use it at different occasions. So we use the Quran when someone is born, someone gets married, someone dies, someone is ill, as a book of charms, as a book of amulets. Do we really derive guidance if we are faced with an issue, a problem? The natural response of a Muslim is to say, what does the Quran say about this? How do I react to the situation? Is there any guidance that the Quran offers me? Do we look at the Quran as a book of solutions? Or unfortunately, the munafiqeen viewed the Quran as a book of problems. A book that is meant to deprive us, meant to punish us, meant to burden us of the joys of life, deprive us of the joys of life. What is our approach to the Quran? Do we understand the message of the Quran? Do we draw guidance from the Quran? Are we learning and trying to appreciate the message of Allah? The other is interacting with the Quran. Do we interact with the Quran? A Sahabi says that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would read the Quran, and whenever there came a verse where to glorify Allah, he would pause and begin glorifying Allah. Whenever there was a verse that showed that we need to be begging and making dua, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pause and make dua. Whenever there was a verse that showed that we needed to seek refuge in Allah, protection in Allah, he would then stop and seek protection from Allah. And this we can only do if one is tilawat and the other is reciting studying the translation of the Quran and then interfacing with the Quran. So, the other is the finding solace from the Quran. Using the Quran as a refuge. Allah says in the Quran that Allah has sent down this Quran and it is a shifa lima fi sudur. It is a healing for that which is in the bosom. The Quran is a healing for a broken heart. Quran gives courage to the one who has lost hope. Quran gives direction to the one who is confused. The Quran gives you a solace, a refuge, protection. Are we deriving that from the Quran. What is our relationship with the Quran? And the other is submission to the Quran. That how prepared are we to submit unreservedly to a clear injunction of the Quran? These are the seven steps necessary for deriving, building a relationship with the Quran. One is recitation. Two is listening to the Quran. Three is memorizing the Quran. Four is understanding the Quran. Five is interacting with the Quran, finding solace from the Quran, and submitting unreservedly to the command of the Quran. These are the seven principles required in developing a bond with the Quran. How do we fare as individuals? What is our relationship measured against these seven steps? But it's never too late. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that whenever the time comes when you will decorate your mosques will be beautiful masterpieces of architecture, and you will decorate your mushafs, bind the Quran, mushaf is a Quran, so you'll bind the Quran very beautifully, have a nice cover, etc., have beautiful frames with Quranic verses or everywhere in the homes. He says, that is a time when you will be destroyed. That is a time when you will just be destroyed, because that is an indication that you are favoring symbols over substance. You are favoring symbols. Quran, Islam has become a symbol. The masjid stands as a symbol. The Quran stands as a symbol. The frames in our homes stand as symbols, but we are unable to identify with the substance of Islam, and that is found in the Quran. So this is the month which is known as the month of the Quran. And we need to begin making the change, making that shift in building that relationship with the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and the key is consistency. We can do it once off, but that's not going to be developing the relationship with the Quran. We have to have a consistent approach at all seven levels in developing the bond and relationship with the Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.